Good afternoon from the magical Isle of Bashan. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. It is one bell of the afternoon watch plus 2 minutes. And I'm talking to you, as always, from the voice of Bashan 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofbashan.org. All over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to Stockholm on the other side of the world, with proven and generous listeners in both of those places. It is my custom, as always, to start off with a brief mention of the binnacle list. And in your own captain's family, I have a couple of new entries to make. Members of my family that are not COVID, not virus related, but are in suitably being cared for, but are not with their families. And so we always want for them to remain on the binnacle list for as short a period as possible, and yet to achieve and acquire full hospital benefits. There's some people also on, in particular, the Coast Guard Channel, of whom I'm aware, that need some thinking. And for those who are inclined to pray, then could use some of both of those things as we work with them to get them off of the binnacle list and back falling in for muster. The Old Man Winter program, the Old Man Winter drive, the Old Man Winter begging was a great success. And I have been advised by Kate, who is the executive director for the Voice of Bashan, that we exceeded the goal that she had set for us. And I thank all of the people who contributed, but in particular do I thank all of Captain Joe's people who responded to the call and who were incredibly generous with their donations and along with those donations, of course, came some comments and remarks about the captain's pontification from the captain's chair. It is the donations that come to us, along with a couple of other sources of income, that keep me sitting up in the chair and able to pontificate with you on many, many subjects. And as always, it is my mission for us to come to the end of the half hour that we spend together, each of us feeling just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. So last week, I talked about a ship called the Golden Arrow, and I was reminded in almost lightning speed time that the real name of that ship is Golden Ray. That does not change the fact that she is still lying over her side in St. Simon Sound in the approaches to Savannah. And one big piece of her has now been cut off, and another piece is going to be cut off and hoisted up onto a barge. And if you call her up on any search engine, Golden Ray, not Golden Arrow, and you can see this amazing crane arrangement that has been fabricated, or has been assembled, is a better term, over her. And as each one of these big pieces is cut off, this crane picks it up and puts it on a barge, and then it's taken away for scrapping. For a captain, whether he be a military captain or whether he be a merchant captain, the sight of a fine ship lying over on her side being cut up, never to sail again, is always a sad thing. Car carriers are particularly vulnerable because they have to have, when you see that high side, way up inside that high side are motor cars. And those are all clipped, strapped. Preventers are rigged, one would hope, frapping lines. You can look that term up. I may define it in a future broadcast. Frapping lines. But whatever means are used to secure them, sometimes those fail. And when those fail and the ship takes a little bit of a roll, those motor cars shift and they shift over to the downside and over she goes. This has happened often enough that one is led to wonder whether it is not over time for an International Maritime Organization investigation to be conducted to come up with some ideas as to how better to manage this particular type of vessel. The cars that are in Golden Ray are still in her, and as the pieces of her are cut off, the cars that are inside those pieces were lifted up, and I believe that there's not going to be any effort to save any of them along with any of the steel to the ship herself. One of the customs that always was observed in my ships, and I hope is continued to be observed today, is that the first log of the new year is always written in verse. By custom, by tradition, and by regulation, the first log of every day, which is the log for the midwatch from midnight until 4 o'clock in the morning, has to contain all of the information about the ship's status, where she's headed, for whom she's working, the machinery combination that is driving the ship and providing the electric power for ship service, all of the information, so that a person reading that first log entry of the new day can learn everything he needs to know about the ship and her particular situation for that day. And when the log is written in verse on the first midwatch of the new year, all of that information has to be included. And that has led over the many, many years that I have approved logs. And in my first ship, of course, I was a watchkeeper. I was not the captain. In all of the years that I have both written logs myself and also have approved logs, there have been some very tortured and tortuous versifying in order to include all of the necessary information and yet make it all rhyme. So I will see if I can't come up with some log entries from previous, maybe one of my commands, and maybe read one in a future broadcast. But it's a wonderful custom. It requires then that the watchkeepers be nimble of mind, because the captain, who is the ultimate approver of each day's log, is going to be particularly critical of the versing effort. I'm going to send you now to YouTube, and I'm going to send you there because there is a wonderful example of great ship handling and seamanship. So open up the YouTube program on your computer. Type in the words Algoma, Algoma, second word, Intrepid, Intrepid, Algoma Intrepid. She is a ore carrier that belongs to the Canadian Algoma Company. She is about 800 feet long. I didn't pull her up on marine traffic to get the exact dimensions, but she looks to me like she's about 800 feet long. And the film clip that I'm describing to you shows her backing out of the Duluth ship canal to get to open water. Now, the film clip doesn't say anything about why her captain chose to back out, but ships by their very design are intended to go forward most of the time, and they are somewhat clumsy when they are backing down. A traditionally set up ship will have a tendency to back to port when she is backing down because of the rotation of the propeller. Twin screw ships, you can mitigate that. And rudder sizes are not large enough to counteract the torque that comes from the rotating propeller. So most of the ships tend to back to port, single screw ships. So Algoma Intrepid is a single screw ship, but she has a very strong bow thruster, and she has a very strong stern thruster. And you can tell when a ship has a bow or a stern thruster, because if you look at the load waterline, you will see a symbol that looks like a propeller. And that tells you that there's a thruster down underneath that. So thrusters have given ship handlers the ability to do many, many things without tugs. And I make a parenthetical insertion here that except for cold iron, which means that the ship has no power at all, moving around in a shipyard, for example, except for cold iron, no ship under my command was ever touched by a tugboat. And I say that with appropriate arrogance and pardonable pride, that you learn your ship handling from people who are really good at it when you are coming up as a young officer. Unfortunately, I was taught by a couple of people who were really good at it. And then when you become a captain yourself, the wise captain does a couple of things. One thing is that he husbands his stores for the long voyage. Another one is that he will take his command out into some safe place and spend a little bit of time coming to an agreement with her, handling her, putting her through all sorts of maneuvers and evolutions in a place where no one can watch when he makes his mistakes. And I have done this with every one of my ships. So take a look at this one of Algoma Intrepid, and I'm going to point a couple things out to you. You'll notice that as she backs down through this very, very long canal, she has to go underneath a lift bridge, and she has to keep herself straight because there's not a great deal of room between the wing walls on either side of that canal. And if you take a look right on the starboard bow of Algoma Intrepid, you can see a little sloshing of water, and that is the propeller action from the transverse propeller arrangement. And so her captain is using that instead of tugs. You'll notice also that there's about a 5-knot crosswind, and also notice that she's not completely loaded, so there is a lot of windage for the wind to work against. So I watched this whole thing in absolute fascination. And of course I was saying in my own mind the commands to make sure that the thrusters were being used both in the right amount and at the right time so that she kept straight as she was backing out. It is a lovely piece of ship handling, a lovely piece of really good seamanship, and I make this point that seldom, even with the largest 1,000-footers on the Great Lakes, are tugs used in the Great Lakes. The captains use the thrusters, they use the wing walls of the locks that they're going to go into and come out of, and seldom do they use tugboats. So I recommend that if you want a change from some of the political dross that is going on around us, that you call up Algoma Intrepid and you watch that captain do a masterful job of handling his ship through a very challenging and difficult journey through the Duluth Ship Canal. In the the federal anchorage right off of the captain's quarters this morning is a bulk carrier named the St. Demetrius. And she's of interest because of something that we have talked about on this program before, and that is the complexities of merchant ship ownership and all of the interlocking arrangements that these ships have. So I did a little bit of research on St. Demetrius, which is, of course, a saint in the Greek Orthodox tradition. She, first of all, is flagged in Malta, but she started out her life as a ship named the Baroque, B-A-R-O-C-K, under the Panamanian flag. She's owned by a Greek company, which is probably why she has that name, St. Demetrius. She's managed by a company in the United Kingdom, and she is insured by a Japanese company. So, if she has an accident in the Straits of Singapore, all the people that are going to be involved in investigating that are the Maltese shipping organization, her owners, the Greeks, the company that manages her, and by manage, one of the things that that company does is provide her with a crew. And so her captain will be coming under, her captain and her watch officers will be coming under some scrutiny. Her insurer is certainly going to be involved. And if it happens in the Singapore Straits, the Singapore Maritime Organization, and in particular, the Vessel Traffic Service in the Singapore Straits, is going to be involved. So this makes for both a multinational investigation, but it includes people with competing interests. And so as we have talked about this before, I bring her up because she's a great example of just the kinds of complexities with which we have to deal in the maritime world. And let us hope, therefore, that she not have that accident anywhere, and especially in the Singapore Straits. The Evergreen Shipping Company comes in and out of Tacoma. We see the Evergreen ships coming past captain's quarters frequently. All of them have names that begin with the word ever, E-V-E-R. And the one about which I'm going to talk right now is named Ever Liberal. And Ever Liberal was to the north. She was just off of Kyushu on New Year's Eve. She got into a really bad storm. And as has happened several times just in the last few weeks, and we've talked about it, she rolled over about 36 containers over the side, floating around out there, not very far from Kyushu. And interestingly enough, another 21 all collapsed on the clips on her deck. So just as we were expressing some concern that it is time to start looking more carefully at car carriers, it is also time for us to start looking more carefully at the way containers are secured, and especially as we get to even larger container ships. We are about ready to see container ships that carry the equivalent of 25,000 20-foot containers. 25,000 20-foot containers. So if you take a look at the photograph of one of these ships when they are fully loaded with that many containers, you'll see, first of all, that is many containers. And secondly, they are stacked up very, very high. And the way that the stacks are connected together, you all will recall that it's done by clips on the corners. And those have to be cinched down really, really tight. So as the ships get larger and the larger and more containers get carried, the more opportunity there is for inattention to duty and to not tighten down as tight as could be done. And that's a lot of corners, 4 times 25,000 if she were carrying just 20-foot containers. So You remember that we talked last week or the week before that about the one belonging to the one line, the one that has the pink paint scheme. And we do get them here in the Port of Seattle. I haven't seen one lately down in the Port of Tacoma. And so all of these ships that lose these containers when it happens, they lose many. If you were expecting a shipment of flip-flops from Taiwan, they may well now be drifting around out in the off the coast of Japan. Time, I think, maybe even overtime, to start taking a really good look at things like container ships and the car carriers. Not too long ago, we got into a big discussion in this country about whether Dr. Jill Biden should be called doctor. And so I believe in titles. I believe in honorifics. I believe in earned qualifications. And I believe in recognizing those. I know, I don't know how difficult a doctoral program is in the University of Delaware, but I do know how difficult it is in the University of Cambridge. And I know how difficult it is in the University of Washington. And I know how difficult it is in the University of Oregon, because my son holds the degree of Doctor of Education from the University of Oregon. So I know how much work is involved in earning very advanced degrees. And the fact that those of us who hold other qualifications, and a great example is my friend Truman O'Brien, who is a retired captain, 737 captain with Alaska Airlines. And I know the levels of qualification that he had to go through in order to be qualified. And I know that he has 19,000 hours in his logbook. So to me, he is Captain O'Brien, just as the amount of work and time that it took for me to be qualified for my captaincy. So, for Dr. Joe Biden, for me, she will always be Dr. Biden, and that is what I have to say about that. Speaking of Truman, I noticed that the 737 MAX has been restored to grace by the Federal Aviation Administration. And I also have noticed that there are aircraft that have been ordered and are going to be delivered by Boeing. I've talked to Truman about his feelings about all of this, and his feelings about this are the same as mine about shipboard automation. He feels that the ability to override the automation's features in the 737 MAX probably had not been taught by the owning airlines, which were both foreign airlines. And he further feels that the United States Airlines that have been flying it have had great training, and he feels would feel very comfortable flying as pilot in command in the left seat in one himself. The analogy that I draw is the same as I drew for the accidents that we have talked about. And in particular, I'm talking about the destroyer McCain. Because what happened in her was that there was poor bridge management and shifting over from the automated system to hand steering. So Most of these have a human component to them. And those human components are dealt with and fixed by training and qualification and practice and practice and practice over and over again, so that you are able to override the automatic systems and, in my world, if necessary, rig the sails to get back home. So I personally, because I live in a Boeing city and I know a number of people who are Boeing employees, and I know a number of people who fly Boeing equipment, that is a good thing to know. And hopefully the things that were learned as a result of the tragic accidents that caused the aircraft to be grounded in the first place have all been fixed and taken care of. The separation of the United Kingdom from the European Union is now complete. The last day for there to be membership in the common market was on the 31st of December. And it remains to be seen how many of these arrangements happen in practice, but it will be very, very interesting when we can travel again, because one of the first trips that I'm going to take when we can travel again is back to Cambridge, because the 100th anniversary of the Scott Polar Research Institute was in 2020, and the whole celebration has been now shifted to 2021, and I'm going to go over and be a part of that. So it will be very interesting to see how all of these, especially cross-channel arrangements, are being regulated and sorted out. We are at the end once again, and it is raining hard here on the magical Isle of Bashan. That's a free freshwater washdown. For those of us who command ships that have aircraft assigned, it's a good time to launch and fly them through for a free freshwater washdown. My cat, Orange Cat Sailor, has not yet learned the benefits of a free freshwater washdown, and so he goes out and comes back in almost immediately. Not very captainly, not very sailor-like, but that's all right. He'll get there. He just needs a little bit more direct captain's instruction. We meet here next week, up in the captain's chair, Voice of Bashan, 101.9. Thanks again to everybody who contributed to Old Man Winter. We're going to keep the lights on. Susan is going to mess with the thermostat so that we get a little heat in here. And with all of that, it remains for me to say that your Captain Joe is up in the chair, on station, and watching properly.